Blog Talk Radio.
How do we know this is Babylon? Psalms 137. I'm going to read it. This place was known for the slaves, slave ships, boats. The children of Israel were singing songs and being whipped and beaten in this particular land. So, let me read. By the rivers of Babylon, there we sat down, yea, we wept, when we remembered Zion. Yeah. We hanged our harps upon the willows in the midst thereof. Willows are willow trees. Where do willow trees grow? Here in America, in the South. They didn't even grow in ancient Babylon. The willow trees name in the Latin is the Babylonicus. We hanged our harps upon the willows in the midst thereof. So when we were whipped and beaten, we used to go under the willow trees and cry during slavery. Third verse. For there they that carried us away, captive, required of us a song. So this is talking about by the rivers of Babylon now. They required of us a song. That's where you get your Negro spirituals at. Okay? When the captives were enslaved during the time of slavery, they wasn't singing about Africa. The slaves were singing about Zion. Over the river Jordan, let my people go. These people knew that they were the children of Israel. For there they that carried us away captive required of us a song. And they that wasted us required of us mirth, saying, sing us one of those songs of Zion. That's Negro spirituals. 4. How shall we sing the Lord's song in a strange land? What strange land? By the rivers of Babylon. Yeah, they named it America, but the Most High called this land an extension of Babylon. How shall we sing the Lord's song in a strange land? It reads in the fourth verse. If I forget thee, O Jerusalem, let my right hand forget her cunning. If I do not remember thee, let my tongue cleave to the roof of my mouth. If I prefer not Jerusalem above my chief joy. So David said, listen, he would rather not even know anything to forget the ease of Israel. He told the Most High, please never let me forget that we're Israel, that I'm from Zion. And our people don't even care. The seventh verse. Remember, O Lord, the children of Edom in the day of Jerusalem who said, raise it, raise it, even to the foundation thereof. Edom is a pure blood Caucasian who was behind bringing us here to Babylon to serve. You will never find the word America in the Bible, but you know America is written because it's the most evil and wicked empire in all existence. So you mean to tell me the Most High wrote about Egypt, Babylon, Sodom and Gomorrah, and all the evils placed in the earth, but forgot America? America is Babylon the Great. Therefore shall her plagues come in one day, death and mourning and famine, and she shall utterly be burned with fire. For strong is the Lord God who judgeth her. The Most High has put his spirit on these other countries to take her out through war. And all the other nations know it. The government know it. The bank systems, they realize it. They know prophecy. So what they're doing, they're mobilizing to move their money into the other countries over in Europe and Africa and all these other places you see Barack Obama going. He's been to Ghana twice already, knowing that this place is about to go. The ninth verse. And the kings of the earth who have committed fornication and lived deliciously with her shall bewail her and lament her when they shall see the smoke of her burning. So while they're teaching you prosperity, that everything is going to be alright, that you're going to be floated up into a cloud, which is nowhere in the scriptures before Christ come back. While they teach you all this madness in these philosophical schools they call churches, the Most High's prophecies are coming to pass. They're coming to pass before our eyes. You can see it. And you know it's going to happen. But Satan have what you would call a spell on the people through religion. So the Most High have awakened his elect in the last days to warn the people. Zechariah, the second chapter in your Bible, the fifth verse. For I saith the Lord, will be unto her a wall of fire round about, and will be the glory in the midst of her. Ho, ho, come forth and flee from the land of the north, saith the Lord. We didn't say this, the Lord said this. For I have spread you abroad as the four winds of the heaven, saith the Lord. Deliver thyself, O Zion, that dwellest with the daughter of Babylon. So is this ancient Babylon? No. This is the modern day daughter of ancient Babylon. And we're in the north. The Most High say we must flee her before the destruction comes. If we don't flee her, we'll get the plagues that are coming. In Revelation 18, which says she shall be utterly burned with fire. The eighth verse. Okay? There's more, but if you want to know more, you can always go to our website.
Shabbat Shalom, Baraka Farm, Walker Water, Peaceful Sabbath, bless you all. Thank you for tuning in to another episode of Friday Night Sabbath coming out of Babylon, where we connect the dots of our reality and current events with the Word of God and Bible prophecy. I'm your host, Brother and Elder Lamar Karab. It is 7:26 p.m. Central Standard Time, December 16th, 2022, almost about a week before what they would call Christmas. Getting closer to that day. And the sooner it comes and is over with, the better. But we are here for the Gathered Christ Church. And I want to give all praises to the Most High God. His name in the Hebrew is Ahiah, the Son, who they call Jesus Christ, is Yeshaya in the Hebrew. And the Holy Spirit is Ruach in the Hebrew. I want to give all praises to the Godhead for making it through another week to see another weekly Sabbath. Pray you all out there are doing well and your week has been blessed, and that going into your Sabbath, it has been blessed and will continue to be blessed. All right. And we also want to give thanks for being here for another episode. For coming out of Babylon. And boy, do we have some great, depending on how you want to define great. We have a lot of information to go through tonight, and very, very surreal times we're living in. So much information just coming out. So many events happening, so many things that are being planned to happen. It's just hard to keep up anymore. So much going on, but let me go ahead and get tonight's title for you all so that we can go ahead, go through the announcements and get right on into it. So tonight's broadcast title is Being Socially Engineered for Extinction. Being Socially Engineered for Extinction. Okay, so we're going to cover what this title means, and definitely a lot more. We're talking about, news, current events, how these things connect to Bible prophecy, and the bizarre, what they would call back in the day science fiction, and the bizarre happenings and the weirdness, the weird science going on in our reality right now. So don't want to miss it. You want to make sure you stay tuned for it. Going to be jam-packed full of Twilight Zone material. and what the Bible just refers to as prophecy, okay? So before we go into it, letting everyone know where they can find us tonight, we are streaming live on twitch.tv. We are GOCC Southwest on Twitch. You can find us through the App Store. Twitch, you can find it on the App Store and find us that way. Or you can also just use a web browser and type the address in the address bar, listen that way. So if one way doesn't work, try the other. If one device doesn't work, try the other. Sometimes some people get better connectivity through a cell phone or through a cellular internet service or through Wi-Fi. So just try your different options there. We also are backed up for all of our archive content on Odyssey.com, also GOCC Southwest on there. And, you know, you can find all these different platforms and links here on Twitch, also on our main channel, GOCC Southwest on YouTube. So we're pretty much GOCC Southwest on, you know, the platforms that we use. So, you know, the main channel, GOCC Southwest on YouTube, make sure you subscribe there and you'll always know where to find us. You'll get your updates for Friday nights. Also, we are simulcasting through Blog Talk. So if you would like to call in, you have any questions, comments, the guest call-in number is 515-605-9327. 515-605-9327. And you can simply press the number 1, and that will put you in the queue. Well, I would periodically check the call line, see if there's anybody there. If so, I'll go to the calls and love to hear what you brothers and sisters may have to share or are curious about with any of the topics. You have, you know, information we're not going into, let's bring it out. All right. We also have the main channels for Gathering of Christ Church, A Gathering 144 on YouTube. We also have GOCC NYC as a backup. All right, we have our church website, gatheringofchrist.org. And we also have the Hebrew and Bible Academy. We're going into week 3. If you would like to find out more about the Hebrew and Bible Academy or you would like to join, go to historytimes.org, historytimes.org, to find out more and be a part of the Hebrew and Bible Academy, where the Bible is broken down scholastic level and the academic level, you know, nowhere unmatched in this earth, where you're going to find the information broken down through the Bible and through historical records, books, et cetera. All right, so let everyone know where we are right now for those out there that would like to tune in. That way they know, I mean, by now, for those who have been following along, know that we are here on Twitch because YouTube is a very strict platform. I'll just, you know, say it like that, a very strict platform when it comes to what you can talk about there. And so we've been able to come here on Twitch and speak pretty liberally, if you would use such a word, and without any type of problems, okay? And so here we are, ready to go into tonight's material. Let me get the title one more time, but we're going to recap and kind of, it's just crazy how so much is connected, you know, from one broadcast to the other. It's just, everything is so intertwined and connected, and I want to kind of go through some of the past broadcasts we've done because it all leads up to where we are right now. So let me go ahead and get titled again. Being socially engineered for extinction. Being socially engineered for extinction. Okay. So, you know, there's some things going on here. We have, you know, social engineering, we're going to be talking about. And within that social engineering, you have a bio engineering. And basically what it is just a tampering with our reality, okay? Tampering with our reality and changing it into something else, okay? Giving an alternative reality in all forms of reality. We're talking about mentally, okay? How are we looking at our reality mentally? Are we looking at it properly through the correct lens? Are we looking at it through the lens that we've been given by the powers of darkness, the powers of this world? Biologically, okay, what's going on with biology in this reality? Is it being engineered? You know, you look at the spiritual aspect of being given an alternative to what is the true spirituality. So we're going to deal with all those things tonight when we're talking about being socially engineered and how this is grooming and breeding mankind for extinction. When you go back to Genesis chapter 3, the serpent promised Eve in the garden that she would be as a god. Okay, so, and he told her that surely you shall not die. So we're being promised godhood through philosophy, ideology, a new alternative form of biology, accepting, you know, cultural, immoral, practices and behaviors that have, you know, before now were, deemed abominable or taboo and all these things. And now we're being brought into something new, a new way of life and living. And we're being promised to be as gods by accepting this new way. But does this ultimately lead to mankind's extinction? Okay, so that's what we really want to point it to for tonight. But let me pull something up here. As you all know, the last Friday night Coming Out of Babylon broadcast we had from Operation Lockstep to the Abomination of Desolation. So I want to start here and pick up, you know, because it segues perfectly into what we're going into tonight and how we read and went through the Rockefeller papers and documents on their plans. And they had this in 2010, where they had planned for just mysteriously a pandemic that would happen, and, you know, how all these particular implementations would happen with lockdowns and masks and, all these, magic solutions that they would then present society as what would fix everything from this pandemic. But within that, we saw all types of control from government, total control on all the different ways that you can think of control through surveillance grid, lockdown, but just total control. And then leading up to the Abomination of Desolation, which we know, according to the Bible, is the siege against the children of Israel. Okay, the siege against their culture, their heritage, their identity, until the ultimate destruction of them as a physical people. All right, Psalms 83, where the name of Israel shall be no more, and they are confederate against thee. So because, we've been scattered to the four corners of the earth, they must now put a system in place to where they can identify, locate, and destroy us. And that comes with total lockdown. And now with the technology they have going through the DNA checks and examining DNA to determine whether or not you match what they would deem the DNA of Israel, and you must now be prepped for eradication. If you haven't been eradicated already, before you get to that point, with all the things that they have targeted against us and our people. So what I want to do is I want to show a video here. I want to show a video here just following up with Operation Lockstep, a Rockefeller document. I didn't get a chance to show it last broadcast, but we're going to start off here, okay, and show how this ties into tonight's content. So let me go ahead and pull this up for you all. Here we go. So worldwide pandemic, they came up with a lockstep scenario. Okay, so we're going to talk about, because we've talked about, you know, different terminology, scenarios, operations, project, okay, experiment. That's all another word is for these particular terms. We're going to go into that tonight, all right? So it's good to start here, as this was a scenario or a simulation that was ran by the Rockefellers back in 2010. So they have a step-by-step manual to getting mankind to this particular point with the barcode, which we know the scriptures refer to as the mark of the beast, in the forehead or in the right hand, where they have mankind under total control. Now, that is going to work perfect with the soul. How do they get to this place here? Well, we must first be socially engineered over time so that when it comes time to get into this actual transition, we're groomed, prepped, conditioned, and ready to accept it. Okay, so we're going to talk about some of this grooming that they've been doing to get us ready for this point in time for the transition. Top-down social control, all right? And how would they get to this place to be able to socially control us, all right? So that's what we're going into with our content for tonight. So how are they grooming or socially engineering society for this stage here, where they have full and total control, even to the point to where you've given up total access and control of your body through technology, and now they have control of your whole body. And it mentioned the Rockefellers in this particular course. This is the Rockefeller document. We talked about Operation Lockstep. And so last broadcast we did on Lockstep, we actually, let me pull it up here. We actually went through this book here. For those of you all who were at the broadcast or have this book, Synagogue of Satan, Updated, Expanded, and Uncensored by Andrew Carrington Hitchcock, right? Where, you know, in this particular book, it talks about the Rockefellers. It talks about the Rothschilds, okay, all those going all the way back to where this all started for them in modern history, which is the Empire of Khazaria. Today is modern day Ukraine. Modern day Ukraine. Let me get it here. Here we go. Khazaria, modern-day Ukraine, where they were known as Khazars in 700 AD. Also, another term for Khazar is Tsar, C-Z-A-R, Tsar or Tsar, which is a lot of times what the Russians are known by as Tsars. And if you go back further than that, and you go back to Rome, you have Caesar. So Caesar, Khazar, and Tsar are all, used interchangeably, meaning the same word. And so these people were known to be the beginning of the Jewish race, when they first started to really make themselves known as a Jewish people, who basically converted into Judaism with the Christians on one side, the Muslims on the other. And thus the birth of the modern Jewish religion that came through conversion. I don't have the other picture here. I'm not sure what happened to it, but that's all right. I'll just use this one for now. As a matter of fact, let me do this. Go up. Should have it here. Okay. Okay, the Khazar Empire, the birthing of the modern-day Jewish race, and their ability to usurp and get world domination through the banks, through control of the media. Talked about how the Rothschilds and Rockefellers took full control of the printing press and the media. And we also showed here how this sits right north of Iran. Okay, you get the Caspian Sea, the Black Sea. So whenever you see these two seas here, you know you're talking about ancient Khazaria or the modern-day Ukraine. And so now it gives us understanding to what's going on with this war in Ukraine, which is probably the event that's happening right now that we've transition to out of the lockdown, out of COVID-19 lockdown. We are now in this event called the Russia-Ukraine War. So now we can start to understand what is the purpose and what's going on with this war. And when we talk about the Caesars, who are the modern-day Khazars or Tsars of Russia, they're all Khazars. Okay, well, who are they according to the Bible? For those of you all who are in the Bible, Hebrew and Bible Academy, you're probably familiar with this book here. The Roman Empire, the Empire of the Edomite. The Empire of the Edomite. So what you see here on the front cover of this book is you see Romans coming into Jerusalem, desolation of abomination, taking down Jerusalem, stealing the culture. Culture vultures, and their continued stealing of our identity, our heritage, and claiming it as to be them. And so now it begs the question, well, if they are Edomites, according to the Bible, okay, we see here, the Caucasus Mountains, right in between the Caspian and Black Sea, Russia, okay? They're Caucasians, Edomites, Romans, Idumean, Jewish, okay? If that's the case, well, then who are the true children of Israel then? If they're not Israelites and they're a race that's converted and tried to claim and stole the heritage, then who are the true Israelites? Well, going back to 2 Maccabees chapter 6, another, you know, important part in history, and this is, again, the reason why it's important for us to know our history. 2 Maccabees 6:1 says, not long after this, the king sent an old man of Athens to compel the Jews to depart from the laws of their fathers and not to live after the laws of God. So Athens is the capital of Greece. So before the Romans stole our culture, the Grecians or the Greeks stole our culture and looked to compel us, look to have us compromise or intimidate us or look to, destroy us if we continued on in our culture and did not accept their gods and fully accept their culture. It says here, and to pollute also the temple in Jerusalem and to call it the temple of Jupiter Olympius. So Jupiter is Zeus. So they wanted us to defile our temple that was holy according to the order of God and how we should keep it, and now give it a new name of Zeus. And that in Gerizim of Jupiter, the defender of strangers, as they did desire that dwelt in that place. The coming in of this mischief was sore and grievous to the people, for the temple was filled with riot and reveling by the Gentiles, who dallied with harlots and had to do with women within the circuit of the holy places, and besides that brought in things that were not lawful. So whenever we find ourselves with our temple polluted, our communities polluted, our bodies polluted, you know, worshiping, celebrating their culture, Christmas, Thanksgiving, New Year's, okay, all these things that are being celebrated right now, Halloween, what do we find in our neighborhoods? We find riots. We see reveling in our neighborhoods. We see harlotry, things that aren't lawful now in our neighborhoods because now we've accepted their culture and we're worshiping their gods. Okay, whether they're the Greek form, the Roman form, the East Indian or Babylonian or the Arab form of their gods. Yoga, all these things that now we're now practicing, it puts us in this place of total defilement with our neighborhoods and communities destroyed. All type of evil happening amongst our community. Verse 5, the altar was also filled with profane things, which the law forbiddeth. Verse 6, neither was it lawful for a man to keep Sabbath days or ancient fasts or to profess himself at all to be a Jew. So they don't have the law right now in place to where you cannot profess yourself to be a Jew, okay, or you claim to be an Israelite. But what they do have is anti-Semitism. So they'll call you an anti-Semite or anti-Semitic because people know, especially in our community, the blackballing that comes with that term. So we won't want anything to do with being anti-Semitic for the sake of not being able to make a living, okay, and to be able to live life. So, but eventually, they will have the laws on the books to where you're not even going to be able to speak the word Jew, good or bad. Because by doing that, it then will cause you not to have the ability to identify and claim who you are as an Israelite. Okay, so right now they're using the term anti-Semitic for a person like Kyrie Irving who would post Hebrews to Negroes. Excuse me, from Hebrews to Negroes, They would now call him anti-Semitic for posting a book or a documentary that would say that, because it is against the law for us to come back to our heritage. And this is what was going on during the time of the Maccabees. Now, during this time, we fought back and took our identity back. But since this time, 70 AD has commenced, and we have gone into captivity throughout all nations, all right, slavery into all four corners of the earth. And so we have lost our identity. Well, now we're looking to come back to it. And because we're looking to come back to it, a person that's in a prominent position of influence like Kyrie Irving, you are not going to be able to proclaim, to actually promote, share any type of thought that you are an Israelite. Okay? So if not, you would be put to death. So right now they're killing Kyrie Irving in the media. You know, blackballing him, killing him in the media, killing him with his actual endorsements and things like that. But before there was Kyrie Irving, okay, or Ye, who were talking about us being Jews or Israelites being destroyed in the media, you know, you had Malcolm X. What did Malcolm X tell us? Malcolm X warned, if you're not careful, the newspapers will have you hating the people who are being oppressed and loving the people who are doing the oppressing. So Malcolm X was dealing with this same beast back in the 60s. Okay, this isn't anything new, what we're seeing happening right now with this whole anti-Semitic talk. They called Malcolm X anti-Semitic. He also said the media is the most powerful entity on earth. And see, the Rockefellers, the Rothschilds, they understood this. So a lot of our social engineering is coming through media, the television, newspapers. Now we have social media. They have the power to make the innocent guilty and to make the guilty innocent. Now, is that never more so true with Kyrie Irving and how he's been treated here of late? A brother who was innocent, all he did was post a link. All right. And they were trying to use the media as a ploy to make him guilty when he was innocent, and have you hating him who's being oppressed in this case and loving the same people, Jewish, who are screaming anti-Semitism, have you loving them, okay, through them being victims, because they are screaming Holocaust, Holocaust. And now you'll love them because they went through the Holocaust, and you'll totally forget about the fact that our Holocaust never ended. Okay, the desolation of abomination of 70 AD on us has never ended. And it's intensifying as we speak. Malcolm X went on to say, they control the minds of the masses. All right, that control. So now, going into our material for tonight, pull up the title once again. We have being socially engineered for extinction. Being socially engineered for extinction. They've been working a long time to get us to this place to where now they're ready for total control, meaning even if it means your death, which in most cases it does, okay? But it's not that the social engineering stops. They're now elevating it to new levels, all right? They're going to now elevate the engineering to a whole new level as they march us towards extinction, desolation of abomination. And it won't just be Israelites who become extinct in this. it'll be Gentiles as well. Anybody that comes against Satan, you know, his children will be eradicated and rolled over in this. All right. So let's talk a little bit about this social engineering here. We talked about this last broadcast also, but we didn't really go into much detail. How many of you all out there are familiar with John B. Calhoun's mouse utopia experiment that turned into an apocalypse? We're going to talk about this mouse experiment and see how it correlates with our reality now. Okay, let's watch this here, and we'll break it down as we go. So in this experiment, you had a mouse utopia where you had mice that were set up in an environment to where they didn't have to work, they didn't have to hunt for food. Everything was provided and given to them. All right, all they had to do was just eat and socialize. Let's see what this spell is for in this type of society that's set up like this. Oh, excuse me. We start from the beginning. I didn't know I had the wrong screen up here. And that's interesting because we're going to talk about equilibrium later in this broadcast. But as you can see with this utopia set up society, the population booms with everything being provided for it. But then it hits a plateau, which is called the equilibrium. At some point, it's going to plateau off. Now, this was done in the 1950s, this experiment here. So let's see what happens next after the plateau. So now that we've reached an equilibrium, okay, and things are out of order because it's not natural, what ensues? Violence. I know Elder Carr was talking about it earlier on the Patreon, about the upcoming violence now that they got us to this place where a lot of people have participated in all this experimentation. So you're going to now start to see a lot of crime, violent crime, criminals being let out on the streets. This is now mirroring this mouse experiment, what we're starting to see in our society now. So we're going to learn a lot from this experiment with what they've been doing with mankind for a long time now. You have excess males looking for attention and looking to fit into society and being rejected from society. The beautiful ones, those who would only eat, sleep, and groom themselves to make themselves beautiful. Okay, that's the only thing that they were focused on. Vanity. Narcissism. All right, look at this experiment. Look at what's going on right now in our reality because we're going to learn a lot what comes next. Not even engaging in physical pleasure. Okay, so when we're looking at this, we're looking at when Paul speaks in Timothy about in the end days, those will become lovers of themselves without natural affection. Is that our society now where people have become lovers of themselves, only grooming, eating, sleeping, getting on social platforms to, you know, show out their latest outfit, you know, their latest hairstyle, the latest, you know, makeup design and all those type of things. Well, they're more focused on attention than living life in the way that it was designed for us as people to live life, to have family, right? No, you're more focused on your appearance, how society is going to look at you. As long as you're eating and sleeping and can groom yourself, you're good. And you live in that bubble. So not only did they have the appearance of, you know, being very attractive, very beautiful, but they were very dumb. Okay, they've been dumbed down, you know, airheads. Okay, does it sound familiar? Something that sounds familiar? So the population for this society could house 3,000 mice, but it began to start to die off at 2,200. Why? The die-off phase or the extinction phase. When you have a society where everybody's in the vanity, everyone has been dumbed down. Okay, where you have a conversation with somebody and it's like, it's a grown man or a grown woman, you sound like you're talking to a two-year-old. And probably even a two-year-old has more sense. How is society going to be able to sustain itself? Everybody's getting stimulus checks. Okay, nobody has to work during the lockdown because all the stimulus, all the social handouts and benefits, welfare, Section 8, food stamps, free this, free that, everything's free. Okay, now comes the extinction phase. So now, like Christ said, the love of many wax cold. During this phase, now they can't even stand one another. There's no love, as if it wasn't bad enough through the violent phase. Now they can't even cope with one another. Even though they have all the food they need, they have all the shelter they need. But the love of many has now waxed cold. And interesting in this experiment, now using rats, to keep track of all the rats in this experiment, they want to inject them now with a RFID tracking device. Just a little something extra to add in and throw into this experiment. And so maybe now it starts to make sense when the Georgia Guidestone says, bring the population down to 500 million so that it can be in perpetual balance with nature. Now, in this experiment, you had the mothers at some point where they would stop caring for their children. All right, they would either drop their child and they would just keep going. No care in the world for their children. Does that sound familiar with our current society now? And not even just maybe outright dumping your children off to never care for them again, but maybe dumping your child off with a stranger, okay? Or the parent wants to go out and go clubbing all night. And so they'll drop their child off with anybody. Or dropping their children off at daycares. Well, you don't even care about your children because you're more so focused on yourself and your social status. Right? And now the elite look at this as an opportunity that they can now step in and say, you know what? We know what's best for society. You've given them everything they wanted, everything they needed. And look at society. Look at how they treat one another. We must step in and intervene for the sake of survival of the human race. And they'll come in with their solutions, what they're coming with now. That they know what's best so that we as a race can survive. That's what they'll use as an experiment to justify, right, their agendas. Let's go over here to hear some more on this experiment here. This is John B. Calhoun, 1970. So what happens is when you're being put in an artificial simulated reality, okay, you don't develop natural behavior. Okay, there's a natural behavior that we are born with, instincts. A man is born with a natural behavior of being a man. A woman is born with natural behavior of being a woman. And now you lose that natural sense. And as the scripture says, you become relegated to the level of brute beasts, of animals. Let's say that again. So you have effeminate men who never learn to be aggressive to know what it is to be a man. They're effeminate. They need the mother or their girlfriend or their wife to now be the protector for them because they never developed that social behavior. Never learned to court, okay? It's just all out fornication. No courting, just adultery and fornication going on. Everybody with everyone. And then it gets to a place to where now you're not even dealing with one another at all. No mating. Because again, you're more concerned with your image or your social status, your career. Okay, you'll just please yourself in that area. This is what this society now has groomed in us. No progeny, no offspring, no legacy to pass down, okay? No genealogy being continued. It comes all to an end. So now the older generation dies off, the ones that originally were in this community, but they cannot no longer give birth or reproduce because they've gotten older. It's now up to the new generation, the younger generation, but all they're worried about is being the see me generation, look at me generation, the vanity generation. They're not worried about legacy and progeny. They're just worried about themselves. So eventually, the society is going to die off. If there's no reproduction going on, the society dies off because you're inundated and preoccupied with so many other realities and so many other different things that have to do and deal with. Okay, reproduction is the last thing on your mind. And even in this experiment, it even showed at one point before that happened that you had men mice dealing with men mice, where it didn't matter. As long as they was dealing with a mouse, it didn't matter who they were dealing with on that level because they were confused. Okay, the feminized men, male mice dealing with male mice, female mice dealing with female mice. Okay, does this not sound similar to our reality now with all these things happening and going on? Are we living in a rat or mouse experiment? with all the grooming and social engineering that's happened and been happening for so many decades. Everything that you would think is human disappeared. So they even saw this within a tribe in Africa where this happened, to show that this experiment transcends mice. Okay, that there is a social, natural order that's been instilled within us. And when that's taken away, we become socially awkward. We don't know how to operate with one another. And then what happens next is violence, sodomy, okay, to not dealing with each other at all, to love being waxed cold, to extinction. What happened in this mouse colony? Once this change in social behavior occurs, it cannot be reversed. That's according to his scientific findings in this experiment. The breakdown of social roles. So it's because these mice were put in an unnatural habitat. They are put in a construct that's unnatural. It's unnatural for them not to be out in nature where they have to hunt, okay, and fight to survive. When you're in a construct like a city that are overpopulated, people on top of people, everything's been on a platter for you. You go to the supermarket, it's on a shelf. You don't have to hunt for a living. You don't know what it's like to actually survive in the wild. Okay, eventually there becomes an equilibrium or a plateau or a threshold that you reach as a society. Everything becomes demoralized. Okay, everything becomes dumbed down until it becomes an extinction. All right, so what is social engineering? I think this mouse experiment tells us a lot on what social engineering is, and has this experiment been being used and being used on us? Let me pull some images up here. We did a broadcast probably a year ago, maybe a year and a half ago, talking about the CIA, their top secret project MKUltra trauma-based mind control, psychological weaponry of the beast. So even back then, we were talking about this social engineering, this programming of mankind, and in this case, using trauma or fear as a weapon to also socially engineer and groom us into a place of being able to be controlled. Here we have on Natural News, Calhoun's mouse utopia experiments are now coming true for humanity as self-annihilation, infanticide, and gender distortions become commonplace. Self-annihilation, infanticide, which is dealing with, destruction of children and all levels of destruction, and gender distortions become commonplace, the distortion of genders. It says here, in the 1960s, a scientist named John Calhoun created a mouse utopia where populations of mice would enjoy everything they needed, essentially without effort. Unlimited food, water, living space, population growth without predators, and so on. It started with 8 mice who began to produce quickly, enjoying their newfound utopia with unlimited resources. Within 4 years, however, the population had become extinct through self-annihilation, even though all the resources it needed for survival were readily available, including ample space to live. Okay, so there was more than enough resources. Just like they try to tell us, it's overpopulation and we don't have enough resources. But we do. What happened to Calhoun's mice? He repeated the experiment multiple times using mice and rats. Each time the outcome was the same. Extinction with 1,588 days. Populations began to collapse at around 560 days for reasons discussed below. So there became a time period of collapse. What we are witnessing in the world today right now is the self-inflicted annihilation of humankind. Almost perfectly reflects observations from Calhoun's mouse utopia experiments, except now it's happening in the world of humans. Filmmaker Mike Freeman has even made a film about these experiments. It's called Critical Mass, and you can learn about it at criticalmassfilm.com. A bioethicist named Jan Kuba has written extensively about this on a site called physicsoflife.pl. There, on a page dedicated to Calhoun's experiment, he describes the Calhoun's experiment as one of the most important in human history, and he delves into the meaning of all this for humankind. On this page, he describes the phases of life and annihilation through which the mouse utopia passed. Here's a summary. Phase A, day one, strive period, establishing territories and making nests. First children are born. Phase B, day 105, exploit period, rapid population growth, social hierarchy established, offspring higher in those with social dominance. Phase C, day 315, stagnation phase, population growth slows. Males become feminized. Females become aggressive. Let's examine that. Feminine men, aggressive women, over roles of males. Now, this experiment that we're seeing with these mice and these rats, it may not be to a T, but if you could get as close as you can without being to a T, this experiment is right there to where we are and what's been happening with our society. We didn't just get here by chance. Okay, there's been an engineering to get us to this place, because with that, when the catastrophe happens, comes a solution. And when you're desperate, you'll go for whatever solution is there. You'll give it a try. Okay, so that's how they're going to get us to this place of total control. Engineer us to a breaking point, to where we're dumbed down. All we care about is vanity, how we look, how many likes we can get on social media, how many followers we can get, how many selfies we can take. Okay, the roles are reversed. Men are dealing with men. Women are dealing with women. No reproduction. Comes extinction. It says here, violence becomes common. Social disorder skyrockets. Male mice begin to assume female roles. Mouse transgenderism. Okay, we're going to talk more about the trans tonight. A lot of this dealing with all things trans related and what's going on in our reality right now. Mouse-rat homosexuality begins to emerge. Okay, so that's not normal. But because of this environment, it now becomes normal. Sodomy. Not only sodomy, pedophilia grows rampant as they begin mounting the young. I don't know if anybody, if y'all been checking out what they're saying a lot when it comes to pedophilia right now and normalizing it. Okay. This also happens. Fertility falls in females. Mothers reject their young. Mothers don't even want to take care of their kids anymore. Okay. What did Glorilla say in front of Planned Parenthood? This baby got to go. I don't got time for a baby. I got time to make babies, but I don't got time to take care of no baby. So this baby, I'm going to Planned Parenthood. This baby got to go. I got a career. I got money to make. Okay. I have an image to upkeep. Phase D. Day 560, death phase. Population collapses. No young surviving. All the children have died. Very, very key. Let's keep that in mind, what's happening with the children right now and what they're looking to do to the children. More to come on that. Highlight the young not surviving. It says no longer any conception. Non-reproducing females resort to eating, grooming, and sleeping. No interest in socialization. And I don't care what anybody says. If you're on social media, And that's what you call socializing, you're antisocial. Okay? It's artificial reality. That is not social. It's antisocial. And we have to ask ourselves, am I a victim of this, is this social engineering to where I can't come around? We have a lot of what I call individualized. Okay, those who know they're Israel and are anti what they call camp. They're anti-camp. Okay, or anti-church, where they just listen to Israelite doctrine online because, you know, we're not supposed to gather. This is a person who has become a victim of the social engineering. Okay, you're a victim. If you can't come together and gather, as the scriptures command us to come together and gather, okay, you are a victim of this conditioning and grooming and are anti-social. And I'm not saying you have to be the most social person in the world, but you must understand that in order for us to self-preserve ourselves in these times, we must come together. We're not going to be able to do that through the internet. We're not going to come together through the internet to make it through all this. That's the place they're going to trap you, okay, is the internet. No interest in socialization, no social skills learned by remaining survivors. So now you're not even passing down the skills to the next generation so that they can learn those skills to survive. So as you go down the generations, it becomes more and more watered down. This is what the book of Baruch, Apocalypse of Baruch, calls a stupor. No ability to be aggressive, which means no ability to defend their young or their nest. So now you're passive. So now when the jackboots come or the rebels come or the ravishers come or, hey, who knows what type of beasts are coming, you have no ability to defend yourself or your family because you have been pacified. Avoidance of all stressful activities, including anything resembling competition. I mean, you can't even have a conversation with someone anymore and just not agree without it being a situation where somebody doesn't even want to talk. Like, listen, we can have a conversation where we don't agree to where we can try to reason together in the hope that at some point we can come on one accord. But one thing's for certain, if we never have that conversation, we'll never be able to come on one accord. Okay. So avoidance, being dismissive, not looking to deal with anything that would cause competition or stress, just living my own little bubble. Preoccupation with grooming. What do they have on OnlyFans? They have women getting paid showing their feet. Grooming their feet, their nails, and getting paid. How much money are we spending at the hair salon, the nail salon? Whole YouTube and Instagram videos on, you know, doing makeup and grooming. And I'm not saying it's all bad in its entirety, but when it just becomes all about that and not living a natural life, okay, it's unnatural. So preoccupation with grooming and physical attractiveness, okay, now we have this explosion of body part enhancement, lip enhancement, breast enhancement, hip and booty enhancement everywhere. Okay, it's all about that. It's all about grooming and enhancing your exterior. Nothing about the interior, because of course, in this experiment, these beautiful ones became dumb. Okay, they were dumb. They added and provided no intellectual, assets to their society at all. It says here, inability to navigate challenges of the real world. Okay. How many poor decisions are being made out right now? Because when real world challenges come, you don't know what to do. Okay. You don't know what to do. No one taught you to get married first. You get pregnant because you don't know what you're doing. Then you find yourself at an abortion clinic because you don't know how to navigate real life challenges. And now you're making all type of horrible decisions now. It says here, only the outer appearance of being superior but lacking cognitive and social skills. Okay, no mental capacity, no social capacity. It's all about just outer appearance. Totally unable to reproduce, raise young, and compete for anything. It says here, utopia leads to extinction. As Kubin writes, John Calhoun's collaborators' conclusions, the larger the population, the less care a mother gives to her nest and young. Non-academic conclusions drawn by people educated in life. The principal factor is the lack of social education in the young. Okay, because if you're spending all your time grooming yourself, you have no time to raise your children. Fall by the wayside, and they just get whatever they get. It's showing in our youth how much time is being put into them. It's being invested into them. No, you just go just go get on your phone, or go get in front of a TV. Go get in front of a device or a screen. That is your upbringing now for this generation, is a screen, okay? We're living in a simulation. We're living in an experiment. This is exactly what's needed for us to become this, all right? This is the generation that's being raised right now out here. I don't know what generation you want to call it. It's not millennial. I don't know if it's Generation Z, whatever the term is. I can't keep up. It's always changing. Okay, whatever that generation is, this is what they're being groomed for right here. This is why they come for the children. Due to the abundance of food and water and lack of predators, there was no need to perform any actions to acquire resources and or avoid danger. So the young have no opportunity to see such actions. Bad pupils often lose their lives and later use them effectively. Utopia, when one has everything at any moment for no expenditure, which is also socialism, which is really what the Democratic Party is looking to push. All the social handouts, the universal basic income. Declines responsibility, effectiveness, and awareness of social dependence. And finally, as Dr. Calhoun's study showed, leads to self-extinction. Contrarily, difficult conditions instigate better coping mechanisms for the population, leading to its growth, strengthening, and reinforcement. Okay, so we should embrace the challenge, not run from the challenge. Okay, everybody wants the easy road. The scriptures tell you that this road is straight and narrow. He that endureth to the end shall be saved. That a fiery trial is before us, thinking not strange. But the minute a little bit of adversity hits, a little bit of fire hits, people tuck tail and run. All right? It's the reason why when you look, even within our church, you start looking around, you hit about the five-year mark, you start asking how many people have been here longer than 5 years, not very many hands go up. So a big turnover rate within the first 5 years of coming into this walk, because each step gets harder. And instead of embracing the challenge, enduring the cross as Christ did, it's just much easier to put that cross down and go back into the world. All right. Let's see what else we have here. This experiment gets wild. The turning point in this mouse utopia, Calhoun observed, occurred on day 315 when the first signs appeared of a breakdown in social norms and structure. Aberrations included the following: females abandoning their young, males no longer defending their territory, and both sexes becoming more violent and aggressive. Deviant behavior. So now comes the uprising of deviancy, sexual and social, mounted with each passing day. The last 1,000 mice to be born tended to avoid stressful activity and focus their attention increasingly on themselves. We are seeing the same thing in today's human societies. Many scientists have dismissed any link between Calhoun's mouse utopia experiments and human society. But in the years since these conclusions were drawn, human society has come to strikingly resemble the self-annihilation tendencies of the mice. For example, in human society today, we note that socialism, progressivism, teaches children that competition is bad. Everyone's a winner. Okay, everybody gets a trophy, is the mantra of our time. And this creates an environment where children are not challenged. In fact, it is no longer even socially acceptable to subject children to any challenges at all. Students are selected into colleges merely based on their skin color or sexual orientations. And corporations hire people based on precisely the same traits, regardless of merit. As Cuban writes, the principal conclusion of Calhoun's experiments is as follows. Right, let's look at these conclusions here. The lack of challenges gradually spoils the behavior of subsequent generations of a population. This degeneration is inevitable and leads to eventual self-extinction. Due to the lack of challenges, the extinction of a population is inevitable. It lasts several generations, but is inexorable. This is precisely the path being pursued by left-wing socialism, communism, collectivism. This also highlights the dangers of a universal basic income or welfare. Stimulus giveaways. When you give resources to populations without any apparent scarcity or competition, those populations raise generations of offspring that are incapable of functioning in society. Okay, and when you look, what has happened now with all the stimulus money, all the people who were on unemployment the past 2 years because of the lockdown? Well, you had a rise in help wanted signs. And now, when it's time to go back to work, nobody wants to work. Because now you've been conditioned to get something for free without having to do anything. It's not natural. It says here, we are seeing all the other signs of the mouse utopia collapse in modern human society as well. Infanticide and abortion, even the celebration of killing the young, for example, Glorilla with her shout out to Margaret Sanger and Planned Parenthood song. Rampant homosexuality and transgenderism. More on that later in this broadcast. Pedophilia and exploitation of the young by older members of that is about to explode. They're about to normalize pedophilia and just look at it as a sexual preference, or at worst, just a mental condition. I forget the term that they're using now for those that like children. They're using a term to kind of warm you up to the idea of pedophilia being okay. Increased violence, collapsing socialization skills, exacerbated by masks and lockdowns. So when they locked this down, they told you to stay in your house, work from home. What did that do for our socialization skills? Okay. Put on your mask. What did that do for our socialization skills? Obsession with self-grooming behaviors, as we see demonstrated by today's youth when it comes to selfies, social media presence, etc. Collapse in fertility of both males and females, spontaneous abortions, stillbirths, inability to cope with adversity, bullying of certain individuals in the population, withdrawal from social circles. If these mice had guns, there would have been mass mice shootings. Complete withdrawal from biological reproduction as transgenderism, pedophilia, violence, and lunacy takes over. Okay. That's what happens in a utopia where everything is for free. You don't have to work for anything. Okay. Life is perfect. It ends up with this result. Does any of that sound familiar? It sounds like every left-wing city in Western society. What the mice demonstrated in the 1960s, left-wing humans are living out in the 2020s. The only real difference is that a generation of mice takes about 50 days to play out, while a generation of humans takes about 20 to 25 years. Okay, so if you look at civil rights, we were integrated in the 70s. That's about two generations later. One to two generations later, okay, not only look at our society, but primarily look at what's going on in the black community right now and the social engineering that's taking place in us through integration, okay? And this is what, and this just, it more so confirms that we're the people when you read the history of the Maccabees, how they look to take our culture and integrate us into their culture, into their religion, okay? And how we just got destroyed from doing that. And you look today, it's no different. You've accepted their gods. We're worshiping everything under the sun. The minute we claim to be an Israelite, it's anti-Semitic and anti-Semitism. We're not going to do that, because the minute we do that, we break free of this experiment. All right. The Wizard of Oz can now be exposed with a light shine on him by us, by calling him out through truth and exposure. Okay. And the whole system comes down. Okay. So they must put some type of control on the awakening. In summary, population itself is not the problem. Collectivism in the welfare state is what will lead to humanity's self-annihilation. The welfare state shields people from the consequences of their own mistakes, allowing responsibility to continue and to flourish among ever wider circles of people. Food abundance has made humanity weak, privileged, and unable to rise to any real challenge. Part of the shock here is how easy food availability and gluttony has led to the weakening of the human race. Food and other resources are readily available. Children don't learn about competition, scarcity, skill, socialization, or achievement. It is scarcity that results in learning and leadership, and without scarcity, there is only gluttony, apathy, and collapse. Notably, the mice never ran out of physical space. This wasn't an overpopulation problem per se. It was self-annihilation stemming from the collapse of the culture of the mice. So when our natural socialization collapses, it leads to self-annihilation, and then it leads to extinction. But they're going to salvage and they're going to control the extinction. They're going to milk the most out of mankind before they look to extinct mankind. We're going to talk about that here shortly. It says here, they no longer value competition, achievement, or resources. They became lazy, apathetic, self-obsessed, and distorted through what we would now label LGBTQ behaviors or collectivism tendencies, ultimately leading to the total collapse of any viability of offspring. Zero population was the inevitable result. Okay, these mice were prisoners in a large physical structure where they were granted unlimited resources. Today, 8 billion human beings are living in a prison planet, which provides large amounts of food and free money. But where human culture, our fertility, are collapsing rapidly. I cover this in more detail in today's Situation Update podcast. Okay, so let's talk about some of these things here. It says, infamous mouse-utopia experiment showed how a population destroys itself. Abundant food and resources led to infanticide and a collapse of stability. Some groups focus entirely on eating, self-grooming, and sleeping. Modern human society is following the same path of collapse and extermination. Social media and tech platforms are amplifying the worst traits of humanity. But now they want you in the metaverse, right? There will be no civility as long as there are proxy communications platforms. Mass mental illness is now the norm. It's all worsened by deliberate food poisoning, pesticides, herbicides, heavy metals. Infiltration in the health truth movement appears to be coming from globalists and rhinos. An effort is underway to cause a civil war in the movement. All right, so there's a lot there with this experiment, and on one hand we can see how parallel it is to our reality, and on the other hand the powers of darkness will use this to justify their new world order now. Okay, because we have become savages, they must now intervene for our own good before we exterminate, self-annihilate ourselves. Which now leads us to, speaking of being socially engineered for extinction, how many of you all seen this? German molecular biologist introduces world's first artificial womb facility. Well, since people, according to this mouse experiment, are going to become transgender, homosexual, okay, not courting to have families anymore, that's going to lead to an extinction. So they must step in with a artificial womb facility. This sounds familiar. This sounds like a movie I once watched. It says a German molecular biologist unveiled the world's first artificial womb facility, Ectolife, which could incubate up to 30,000 babies a year. My new concept will be unveiled early December, something that I have been working on for a while. The new concept relies on over 50 years of groundbreaking scientific research. So they did just come up with this yesterday, family. They've been working on this for 50 years. To show you that this is a project. These are projects, operations, simulations, experiments that they work on for decades. It first starts with an idea. Okay, so they had to psychologically prep us for this moment as they got the technology ready, because 50 years ago the technology wasn't there, but the idea was there. So let us work now on the grooming process of grooming mankind for this moment, for them to accept this new reality. Well, slowly but surely, they've broken us down through the demoralization. Okay, through the social engineering, the behavioral modification, modifying our behavior, okay, through the social engineering. Let's check out this Ectolife video here. The world's first artificial womb facility. Let's see what's going on here. Yeah, see how they prepared us for this moment? All through the smartphone. I mean, you have it now where children are killing their parents over virtual reality headsets and not getting access to them. Killing their parents because they have been limited from their Instagram accounts. Right? So we've been socially engineered and groomed for this moment, which is going to lead to the extinction. In their mind, of course, we know the scriptures say the remnant's going to survive. But if God did not shorten the days, no flesh would survive. Okay? So through the smartphone was really the straw that broke the camel's back and the nail in the coffin to the completion of the social engineering program. There goes your virtual reality. Okay? See how it all works one together? From the cell phone to the metaverse to the virtual reality to the PlayStation 5 to now being able to communicate with your baby and the alternative reality through the VR headset. Okay, and if young children are killing their parents because their virtual reality headsets are getting taken away, imagine what a mother would do, a soon-to-be mother, if the man, or in this case, a lot of these situations are going to be women with women because they're not making no babies, okay? Takes the headset from them. You will lose your life. I'm going to communicate with my baby in virtual reality. You don't have to worry about no more miscarriages and low sperm count. Those are a thing of the past now. Mankind has perfected childbirth. Where the Most High failed, mankind has perfected. And so this is what they're selling mankind. That God made us imperfect. He failed. They're here to pick up the pieces and make mankind perfect. And this is one of their many solutions for that. In this case, childbearing. Don't worry about the Calhoun-Mouse experiment when y'all no longer want to deal with one another and have family. We're going to make artificial babies with artificial wombs out of our facilities. And you can have your baby genetically engineered before it goes into the embryonic stage. They got it all figured out, don't they? I mean, they make it seem like, okay, well, you can have all type of complications if you have a baby naturally, which is more on the rare side. It happens. But they make it seem like their process is going to be error-free. Like, there's not going to be any errors or any problems that's going to come with this when they do it. This is all babies are going to pop out 100% perfect, you know, what the design for them to come out as. Right? If you want to believe that. That's just how he's selling it. Oh yeah, let's customize my baby. I can customize it down to the T exactly how I want my baby to be. And to top it all off, you don't have to worry about climate change and leaving a carbon footprint, because this facility uses clean energy. Okay, we have to continue to push at the same time the climate change agenda also. Those who have been victimized by the Calhoun mice experiment that's been done on mankind, don't worry about it. Ectolife has the solution. Okay? Growth pods. Artificial growth pods for those who are too lazy to make babies. All right? 314 area code on Blog Talk. Stand tight. Or sit tight. I will get your call here in a moment. Okay? You have a caller there on Blog Talk. I'll get to you here in a moment. Reminds me of a movie I once saw that, maybe they foretold, you know, how Hollywood loves to guess and get right all the time. Let's see here. What movie comes to mind? Oh, what is The Matrix? Let's see if this maybe is shown to us in a movie before. The world that we know. This is the world, the utopia that they've actually told us is our reality. And here is the real reality. If we really understood what time it was and could see reality for what it was, you would understand this is the real reality. And this goes into our broadcast we did, State of Decay. But don't worry, this physical reality is coming soon, too. You won't just be able to see it spiritually and mentally through the demoralization of our society, but you will soon be able to see it physically play out real time. Fields where human beings are no longer born, they are grown, like an ectolife facility. So this is 1999 when the Matrix showed us this. And here it is today, they're telling us they have the ability and they have facilities right now that are about to do this. Not knowing, for anybody who has any spiritual sense, to know that you can't make a person without a spirit. So where is the spirit coming from? From these pod babies. Now, demons are looking for a body. Demons are looking for a host. Keep that in mind. But it will not be a spirit like you or me that will be housing these pod babies. And there you have it, a pod baby, Ectolife in 1999, shown in the Matrix. So this isn't some, again, he said this is 50 years. Ectolife said this is 50 years in the making of science to where they are right now. Well, this isn't something they just thought of yesterday. They've been working hard to get to do this for a long time. Well, if they can do this, what reason would they have any more for us? Question we should ask. What is the Matrix control? The word we've been using for Operation Lockstep. Control. Well, I ask the question, family. Are we being socially engineered for extinction? Oh, there's a lot more from where this has come from so far. What do we have next? What do we have next? Now, you know, the world would not allow one of Satan's favorite children in on this, none other than the gates of hell himself. Bill Gates' patent gives him exclusive rights to computerize the human body. Okay, this is December 5th, 2022. So at the same time, Ectolife is showing us these pod babies. The gates of hell is being opened wider and wider as he now has exclusive rights to computerize the human body. We will turn humans into cyborgs. The human body is a vibrating, throbbing, pulsing gateway of tubes and tunnels filled with electrolytes and all capable of transmitting information. The lifeblood of the internet in the 21st century. Now it has emerged that Gates Microsoft was granted exclusive rights to this ability of the body to act as a computer network. If this sounds too much like science fiction, then you are welcome to check this out for yourself. Microsoft was awarded U.S. Patent 6754472, which is entitled Method and Apparatus for Transmitting Power and Data Using the Human Body. All right. So remember, in order to get to this point here where society would accept this new transition, this new world, new world order, first have to groom us and socially engineer us into the state of mind, a state of being where we would actually be able to accept this. It says here, which really should be science fiction if you stop to think about it, did anybody consult you about whether you are willing to hand over to Bill Gates the exclusive rights to your body? Civil liberty groups have expressed outrage over Gates' move to patent the human body. Body parts, in this case skin, should not be in any way patentable. said Jim Thomas of the ETC Group, which monitors developments and technology. There are big questions here about whether individuals will be able to refuse this technology if it is used in, for example, tracking devices. Klaus Schwab's right-hand man, Yuval Noah Harari, says there is no question that individuals will have no say whatsoever about refusing this technology. According to Harari, the designer of life will no longer be God. The WEF are going to be the designers of the future of life. Harari also explains why Gates' patent on the human body is so important. Gates was at the forefront of the computer science revolution, according to Harari, and he is also at the forefront of the revolution in the biological sciences. Now, I think that that pretty much confirms if he is at the forefront of the biological sciences, that this vaccine and his, you know, his hell-bent nature to get everybody filled up with all these vaccines, not for health purposes. This is for computer science revolution and the revolution in biological sciences. And guess what? According to Harari, Bill Gates' two revolutions are about to merge. Okay? Confirming what we've been telling people. This vaccine is software getting you ready for the hardware. Okay? No sooner than they get everybody to take these vaccines, the Gates of Hell gets patents. Exclusive rights to computer, now to computerize the human body as the vaccine goes throughout the body and develops a new system, a new neural system. That's what they're pulling out of people. All these fibers that they're calling blood clots, all these long fibers are looking to rewire and restructure the body to now be ready to receive the iron into the Mari clay. Okay. And we had robot alchemy, COVID-19 vaccines creating super soldiers as a past broadcast. So the fortunate few, the lucky remnant that survived the vaccine, this is what they will become. While Harari is dropping some hints, Gates is remaining coy about what they plan to do to the human body. And more to the point, huge human bodies they plan to computerize. The big question is whether Gates is planning to allow his human subjects a choice in this matter. According to Robert F. Kennedy Jr., Gates has a godlike willingness to experiment with the lives of lesser humans. Kennedy Jr. goes on to warn that Bill Gates has used his money to systematically purchase powers exceeding, in some respects, those wielded by presidents, and is using these powers to experiment on human beings like guinea pigs. Again, we are in an experiment. One big experiment, simulation, project, operation, okay, whatever word you want to give it. Gates' strategy of buying WHO, World Health Organization, and purchasing control of U.S. health officials like Tony Fauci and Deborah Birx means the Microsoft co-founder can now dictate global health policies affecting 7 billion people and to control the most intimate details of our lives, said Kennedy. Under his direction, the WHO is conducting global social and medical experimentation, applying Gates' religious faith that he can use technology, vaccines, and GMO agriculture, and his deep understanding of computers to make him the savior to all of humanity. We are his guinea pigs. But if you think Gates' plan for humanity is disturbing, wait until you meet the people who he is collaborating with. All right. It goes on to talk about climate change, the World Economic Forum, and Gates Foundation. So there's more here. I'm not going to go through it all. Let me go ahead over to see if we still have the caller there. Block Talk, 1 second. 314 area code. Shabbat Shalom, you're live.
Shabbat Shalom, Elder. How are you this evening?
Doing blessed. How's everything?
Hey, man. Excellent broadcast, as always. This is Mawara right here in Dallas, if you didn't know. Oh, wow. You know, a couple of things I wanted to kind of point out. We're talking about the Matrix. But before putting people to the cyborg and how many years ago that they had this technology, I'm dating myself here. But back in the 70s, there were two TV programs that came out, The $6 Million Man and The Bionic Woman. And as a kid at that time, you know, everybody, you know, everybody wanted to have these kind of powers. You can jump high and be super strong in one hand and, you know, all that kind of thing. But I think back on it now, you know, they actually were telling us that they had that technology back in, you know, the mid to late 70s. You know, it was out there. We thought it was just, you know, seeing it now. It's a different story. You know, I don't know if you, I know I'm a little older than you are, but I don't know if you remember that or saw it in syndication or remember those shows.
I didn't see them, but I'm familiar with them.
Okay.
I'm totally familiar with the culture at that time and pushing those particular types of sci-fi shows.
And something else like, and, you know, of course, this is from my work world and everything. But, you know, over the last couple of years since the lockdowns, everybody had to go home and, you know, work from home. Now, I was already working home, but a lot of companies, you know, have just kind of done away with the brick and mortar and have just said, forget it. We're just going to go ahead on to permanent work at home situation. Well, one of the things that I'm seeing that's happening with the work at home is, you know, they have to come up with these ways now to monitor and, quote, unquote, track your productivity, what you're doing or whatever. So, you know, they've created these situations where it's kind of chaotic, you know, trying to get your work, what you're supposed to be working on, who's responsible for what, you know, in different areas, depending on what sector of the work field you're in. But they'll kind of think, so it's like, oh, we have to have something that, you know, everybody can get behind. So I'm listening to my team members and, you know, leadership is coming down saying, oh, yeah, we're going to roll out this new basically beast tracker, onto your, you know, computers or whatever, your workstation, so that, you know, we can, you know, kind of keep an eye on what you're doing. If you have questions, you know, they kind of put it out like it's a good thing. And I'm like, yeah, that's the whole beast tracking system. And then on top of that, they're doing all this extra cross-training, up-training for, I don't know if other companies, I don't know if you're hearing that, but it's like every time you turn around in your job, there's more training, like they're adding more and more and more responsibilities to your, you know, to your job. So I was telling my roommate this, I said, well, you know what I think, and I don't have to be right, but what I think is, you know, the Hegelian dialect, you know, they create a problem, you know, the chaos with trying to, you know, the work environment, you know, making all these unrealistic demands, wanting you to do more and more and more, so that at some point you can't keep up. And they've got all these little systems in place to show now the lack of productivity, whatever, you know, you guys aren't keeping up or whatever. Well, you know, the Neuralink just came out. Or is being, you know, coming out. Well, you know, if you get this, basically this chip, you can keep your job. I don't think any company is going to say that directly, but I think that's going to be an option that some people in the workforce, especially unbelievers, are going to exercise out of fear, because if they're coming up with all these reports from these beast trackers, you know, you're spending too much time in a break or whatever, you know, whatever these reports are going to show, basically our humanness is inefficient. So,
well, keep in mind, they've already tested this and rolled this out with the vaccine when they were telling people, get vaccinated or lose your job.
Exactly.
Okay? And so that was a trial run. And, yeah, of course, now, because they're not ready to launch the full outright, the full outright operation of all this, they'll say, okay, yeah, we'll give you back pay and let you get your job back, because now they've collected data, kind of like how they did with the mouse experiment. They're just collecting data to see, okay, who's responding, who's done this, and, oh, now we have some test subjects that have now got this fluid in their veins.
Mm-hmm.
So now we can further our experiment down that road also. So they'll ease back a little bit, but this just preps them for the next phase, like you said, when now it becomes mandatory that you have that in order to keep your job.
Right. And like I said, I don't think they're just going to come out and just say, in a year and a half, because I'm projecting this out in my mind about 18 months. I don't think they're just going to come out and say, oh, you have to get this Neuralink and be, to keep your job. But I think what they're going to do with the tracking system that they're putting in place now is just really going to be used to show just how inefficient we are at our job based on all of the, they've constantly piled on a lot more responsibility. So it's almost humanly impossible to keep up with so many different variables, in your job. It's like, if you work at McDonald's, start off, you're working on fries, but now they got you doing the fries, the burgers, the nuggets, the shakes. It's like it's humanly impossible for one person to just, to be that good at everything. So they'll have a report now that they can come out and say, they can point to show your inefficiencies. Well, like I said, they're already putting out that Elon Musk is putting out his little Neuralink. I think it's supposed to go live this year in 2023. Well,
yeah,
perfect
within the next 6 months. Yeah, we talked about that
right.
last Friday night, Sabbath. We talked about that mm-hmm. within 6 months, he's planning to have that within the first human, which we know they've already done it, but.
Mm-hmm.
They have to roll again. It's about the social engineering. So they're just prepping people to accept it. So they're now rolling it out in the public now
mm-hmm.
for it to be seen for what they've already been doing behind closed doors.
Mhm. Mhm. Yeah. Yeah. And like I said, I'm just kind of looking at it and like, oh, okay, And so people are going to voluntarily, at least the first big wave, will voluntarily go and do it because they feel like that's going to give them the competitive edge to stay current
yeah.
and stay on top, to be able to keep the job, basically.
It'll be voluntarily at first, in the beginning,
mm-hmm.
so they can see, how many people they can get, kind of like with the vaccine, how many people can they get to actually participate in the experiment before they then make it involuntarily. So,
mm-hmm.
yeah, they're going to roll it out in phases, which they've been doing. So, but we've been socially prepped, socially groomed for this point to where now people are willing to now do it, whereas in the before times, people, not very many would have been all for doing something like this, but they have society in the place now where, people would, they're begging for it. They can't wait for it.
Mm-hmm.
People have become so tech gluttonous, dependent
yeah.
upon technology and the desire and lust for it. What was the last thing you were coming? You about to say?
Well, you just brought up a whole another little thing. I went. I just moved recently, and so the new area that I'm in, I had to go and get a gym membership. So today, Sis and I, we went to the gym or whatever. And so the first thing they give us is this like little QRL. thing where you're supposed to take your phone and I guess scan it or something. I'm standing there. I am not the most tech savvy individual. And I'm like, yeah, just give me the piece of paper and I'll fill out the piece of paper because I don't do that well. So the guy really was kind of blank faced because he didn't know what to do. If somebody, so he was going to do it on my phone, and my phone actually I think doesn't. My phone doesn't QRL or somehow. But anyway, so. They were literally like standing there trying to figure out how to set up my membership without, you know, the QRL, you know, being able to, the technology piece of it. I'm like, whatever happened to good old-fashioned, you type my name and information into the computer and give me my little key fob or whatever. What happened to that? They literally have no concept of doing anything that's not, you know, connected completely, you know, on the beast level. So I thought that was really weird.
Technology,
but actually about the next
computer.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
No,
this is my last
question.
Last question I was going to ask. I think I have a delay. I'm sorry.
Yeah, there's a delay, but you can go ahead.
Oh, what were you saying? No, I want to hear what you had to say.
No, I was just agreeing with you. It's like everything now has to be done with a computer or some form of technology. So they've now graduated from the barcode to the QR code now. So now everything is being done. And they really rolled that out in mass with the QR code during the lockdown because, we can't hand out menus at restaurants no more. The QR code's on the table. You have to scan the QR code to pull up the menu on your phone. So so they're just furthering people down this rabbit hole.
Yeah, they're pushing folks down. But the one thing last thing I was gonna mention about the Ectolife thing. I saw that video a couple of days ago and was horrified. But did anybody catch the fact that the waste that the baby eliminates is being recycled and fed back to them? Did you catch that?
Well, I've seen the system was set up, and I've seen that it was all somewhat connected, but you know, I wasn't quite sure if it worked exactly on that level or not. But if that's so, I mean,
yeah. They're treating it. That's what they were saying in there, is that they, you know, the waste that the babies eliminate are then treated and you know, I guess whatever they do to chemically fix it or whatever, and then given right back to the baby as vital nutrients that the baby needs, you know, that part.
Right.
I'm like, whoa, but they did the same thing in The Matrix, too. They liquefied the dead and fed it to the exact same thing. I'm like, that is wicked.
Yeah.
And you are
sense.
What you eat, so.
Yeah, it's a recycled system. They have to make sure that they're making use of all resources, and they're doing the same thing for us. I forget what broadcast it was where we spoke about how they had this biomass executive order that Biden passed, to where now even dead bodies are going to be recycled back into the soil for us to, you know, be composted in as far as our food and waste composted into the soil for our food to grow in. So yeah, this is the new clean energy. It's everything, nothing is going to waste. It will all be recycled in the environment to be ate in some form or another.
Well, hey, well, fortunately, we have watchmen like you and the elders and my own bishop here locally sounding the alarm and keeping us focused and our eyes open and interpreting the madness that we see. So I thank you guys, and I continue to lift you up in prayer.
Thank you, Wada, and we appreciate the support and calling in. Bless you, and Shabbat Shalom.
Shabbat Shalom.
All right, so let's pick back up. Speaking of Bill Gates, we also have, he's not the only one looking to computerize the human body. All right, and we talked about the muskrat, Elon Musk. This is off of The Sun. Future perfect humans in 2100 could be ageless bionic hybrids with downloadable brains as they transform into Elon Musk-style cyborgs. And with this technology, you're going to get an AI chip and brain connected to internet and AI. mind control of drones. So you'll now have drones circling around you that are controlled by your mind. Yeah, no telling what those drones are going to be used for. Why a person needs mind control drones flying around them. Hey, bionic implants for perfect vision. So eye augmentation, bionic organs, enhanced organs, strength boosting prosthetics, ageless face thanks to treatments. So this is the immortality that the devil is promising mankind. You will be as gods, Lucifer's race. Okay, as they transition out of people, right, through the mouse experiment and giving out all this free stuff, you'll get to a place in society where, you know, you're gonna some way or another, even if people need help, you're gonna do away with reproduction. Okay, at some point you're gonna need to take whatever biology is left of mankind in order to preserve it to some degree, merge it with machine, as well as production of the pod babies to reproduce new life. Okay. And so now we've come to a place of being socially engineered to now be bio-engineered. But they first had to take control of our minds so we would give up our bodies. Right? You know it's a sign of a population that's been socially engineered when they come out and tell you that a cold or a flu is a pandemic and that the solution isn't exercise, isn't herbs, it isn't eating healthy. No, the solution is a vaccine, and not only any vaccine, an emergency FDA authorized gene editing, gene therapy, new technological vaccine called mRNA. You know, a society has been socially engineered to a place where they would accept that as a solution. It says here, humans in the next 100 years could be part machine, part flesh, creatures with brain chips and bionic limbs and organs in a vision of cyborgs once described by Elon Musk. Men and women born around 2100 could live in a world very different to ours, as humans may be totally connected to the internet and mesh together with artificial intelligence. Check it out. Check this out. It says, no need for smartphones thanks to brain chip. So the first part of the social engineering was making sure that they had every person on the globe with a smartphone in their hand. Because once they phase the smartphone out, in order to keep up with all the things that you had currently that you were able to use that smartphone for, as well as the new technology that's coming that's far advanced than the smartphone, you're going to have to get. Okay? And no one's going to want to give up their smartphone or the access that, and all the things that came with having one. So the brain chip is going to take care of the smartphone for you. Natural aging, 90% eliminated. Okay, so you're only going to age 10%. We also had Ray Kurzweil, who wrote many, many books on this 30, 40 years ago. So Elon Musk is not the first person in all this. He's not the Antichrist. There are many Antichrists. Top of my head, I can name off 10. And each one fighting for who's more wicked. Okay, it's another reason why now Musk is over Twitter. Twitter is social media. It's part of the social programming. Okay, if he owns the social media as well as the brain chip, you have to understand how much of those things go hand in hand. Aging could become a thing of the past, and all of my vanity kings and queens out there who spend all their time grooming themselves just to take selfies and put them on social media, all those that are getting body augmentation through, you know, body part enhancement, lips, nose, cheeks, chins, breasts, hips, are going to love this technology. See, that's the thing. When you're already into the body enhancement through the silicone and the fillers and the injections and all that, you're just the next stage away from this. You're already mutilating your body, pumping it full of stuff. I mean, you see some of these people when they get these things done to them. I mean, they look straight silly. Like, why would a person do that to their lips? Why do they do that to their hips? Why are they doing this to their body? They look abnormal. It doesn't even look real. It doesn't look natural. You think a guy likes that? Not a real guy. A natural man wants a natural woman, not a woman that's all artificial and synthetic and genetically modified. So they're already getting, through the social media, people to already go down this road, being, again, socially engineered for what comes next. With just a thought, you could bring up an answer on Google, send a message via WhatsApp, or even control your personal drone to do errands for you. Who doesn't want that type of power? Who doesn't want that type of convenience? See, this is why they had to make our society lazy. Okay, give them stimulus, give them handouts. So now we can make them even lazier. Perfect for this generation. Hey, you mean to tell me I don't have to get in my car or walk anymore to get things done? I can have drones that are controlled by my mind? You mean to tell me I don't have to log on to the internet? My brain is always connected. With a thought, I can send messages and answer phone calls. Scientists and futurists have predicted that aging could be nearly totally eliminated through a mixture of treatments and bionics. Okay. You have futurists and transhumanist Zoltan Isvan saying it's imperative humans must merge with AI. And he said that humans are already on the way to soon heading down to body shops or supermarkets to upgrade themselves. Okay. People are already going to body shops and upgrading themselves, upgrading their body parts for Instagram, for social media. Which leads us to more social engineering. And I'm sure once this happens, we'll be coming back for this particular summit. World Economic Forum releases 2023 Davos Agenda for Great Reset Takeover. Okay, because now they're elevating the social engineering. They're upping the ante and the stakes for the social engineering. And this is for 2023. We just did the one Davos Agenda for 2022 not too long ago. Well, I believe this one comes in January. Their agenda items include the energy food crisis, inflation, private sector innovation, social vulnerabilities, and the geopolitical risk of a multipolar world. Okay, so they're going to get together, come up with all the ways to socially engineer this into people, into your minds, to accept this reality that's been engineered by them. Peyton Schwab, the main agenda item for the WEF's 53rd Davos 2023 confab running from January 16th to 20 is called Cooperation in a Fragmented World, citing the Ukraine conflict. You see that? So part of their social engineering is convincing you of the PSYOP. People remember history. Okay. And understood that from Operation Northwoods, you would understand that all wars are false flags and PSYOPs, and that the CIA does this through media, and this was shown in Operation Mockingbird. Okay, so by them controlling media and being able to create narratives through media, they can then sell you on the false flag, fake PSYOP wars or events, but in this case, we're talking about war, with the war in Ukraine, the COVID-19 fallout, rising energy and food costs, and rampant inflation as factors pushing the world towards uncertainty and fragility. Okay, so we're going to come back to this next month, but they're already putting out there and telling you what they're going to be talking about, foreshadowing, telling us what you can expect for 2023 and beyond. Because whenever they come out and tell you what's going to happen, I would say typically it always happens. Speaking of them coming out and telling us things that are about to happen, we have a video here. Globalists plan another catastrophic pandemic simulation event. 201 style plan with virus to kill children. Okay, so earlier I told you to highlight children with the material we went over. We now have a catastrophic pandemic simulation. Okay, they just did, mirroring event 201. And in this is a plan to kill the children. Let's check this video out here. And this guy is just everywhere right now. So not only is he trying to, not only has he acquired the exclusive rights to turn people into computers through computer circuitry, him and his foundation, along with John Hopkins, both of them behind Event 201, have just held catastrophic contagion, a simulation for the next pandemic. I just held this in October. Event 201 2.0. So in this catastrophic contagion, a respiratory virus mainly is going to kill children. Severe Epidemic Intravirus Respiratory Syndrome 2025. All right, we're going to break this down. And I'm gonna share with you what I believe with the information that I've come across, what's going on here with this, and break it down according to their simulation, according to their patents that they come out with, according to their propaganda media that they're putting out in regards to all this right now. Okay, a fictional scenario, just like Event 201, it just happened to come 99.9% true. So here's another one, or the next one. catastrophic contagion. The next pandemic, plandemic, event 201 2.0. Okay, Bill Gates is planning catastrophic contagion that kills children and young adults. All right, and this, okay, so, you know, he wants to turn your body into a computer. He's got vaccines coming. I mean, how much more do people need to understand with all this? Now, this particular simulation happened in October of this year. Before October, now I want to tell everybody what I think is a strong possibility of what's going on here. Okay, this simulation happened in October. Before this simulation ran, there was a promotional piece that Bill Gates ran in September, beginning of September. Let's check that out.